I waited on the Lord as to what I should share, I've entitled this message, Repositioning and Redemption After Your Detour. Repositioning and Redemption After Your Detour. And you know, everyone at some stage in our lives, we have veered off the path. There's a journey we're on in Christ, and everyone, including myself, there's been a deviation or a detour or just a veering, no matter how slight, off the path of where we shouldn't be. And today I'm going to speak about Abraham, two places that Abraham went to where he shouldn't have gone, but how God's love and mercy and redemption still kicks in. God is just so amazing. He loves us so much. Then I'm going to speak about Naomi. So I'm going to discuss three case studies, and I'm going to draw some principles of how we can, what we can learn from that and how we can apply that to our lives today. And I don't want anyone to leave, because afterwards I'm going to pray an impartation of strength to receive the seed in order to conceive, strength to receive the seed. And so say to your neighbor, are you ready to receive your strength? Amen. Let's start by reading Genesis chapter 12, verse 10 to 19. I'm reading in the Amplified Version. Genesis 12, verse 10 to 19. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to live temporarily, for the famine in the land was oppressive, intense, and grievous. And when he was about to enter into Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you are beautiful to behold. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say, I beg of you, that you are my sister, so that it may go well with me for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. And when Abram came into Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into Pharaoh's house, his harem. And he treated Abram well for her sake. He acquired sheep, oxen, he donkeys, men servants, maid servants, she donkeys, and camels. But the Lord scourged Pharaoh and his household with serious plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and get away from here. Okay, so what happens here is that there was a famine in the land, and Abram went to live in Egypt. Now, remember God called Abram. His name was Abram before God changed it to Abraham. And God said, you leave Haran and you go to a land where I'm going to show you. He didn't tell him along the way it unfolded where, and it was Canaan. So now Abram was in Canaan. And then there was a famine in Canaan. And Abraham, it doesn't say the Lord told Abraham now to go to Egypt. He made his own decision. He is going to go to Egypt without the instruction of the Lord. And so we read the story now. Sarah was beautiful, and the men desired her. And if they knew that Abraham was the husband, they would kill him in order to get her. And so he said, she's my sister, although it was a half-truth. She was his half-sister, but there was still deception involved. And so this is what Egypt represents. Egypt represents, it says it means oppressors, it's black. It represents the house of slavery. It represents a house of bondage. Remember to Moses in Exodus 4, 22 to 23, God says to Moses, I took you out of the house of bondage. And it says, let my son go. A place, so Egypt is a place that kills firstborn sonship identity. So Egypt is this place of bondage, this place of enslavement. And now God had put Abraham on the path and said, I'm showing you a place that's builder and maker. The city that's builder and maker is God. And Abraham was there, and he decided, there's a famine. I need to get out of here. But it wasn't according to the Lord's instruction. So when he returned, so he should have trusted the Lord to provide in the famine, being the man of faith that he was. When he returned to Canaan, they took Hagar with them. She was given as a maidservant to Sarah whilst in Egypt. Now, we saw all the gifts that Pharaoh gave to Abraham, and some of them were men servants and maidservants, and Hagar was one of them. So Hagar represents an option Abraham acquired in a place of disobedience. He was in an inaccurate location because God did not say, there's a famine, go to Egypt. He went on his own. And so this is what it mentions. When we deviate off the path, we're going to have Hagars that will be an option to us in our place of disobedience when we're in an inaccurate location. So if he didn't go to Egypt, he wouldn't have Hagar in Canaan. Because when they went back to Canaan, they took out something they acquired in Egypt and they took Hagar back. And we know the endless problems that Hagar and Sarah had. So in Egypt, Abraham tries to resolve things in his own strength. Now, many times in our life, we try to resolve things in our own strength. So what did Abraham see? He looked at it as a place of preservation because he realized there's plenty in Egypt. So God didn't tell him to go, but he looked at it, let me go in my own strength, I'll be preserved. But that same place of preservation can be the place that will kill your sonship. Because Egypt is a place of bondage and slavery, and it entraps and enslaves the son. That's why Moses, in Exodus 4:22, God said, let my son go. Let my son go to Pharaoh in Egypt. Let my son go. I say to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if you refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay your son, your firstborn. So it's a place where it kills sonship. It kills the firstborn identity. And so many times when we are in the wrong location where God did not plan for us to go, the option Hagar comes into our world. It may seem harmless at the time, but later will cause you to disobey God in a future time period. So when they took Hagar from Egypt, it was actually harmless. We're taking a maidservant in our caravan and we're going back. But later, Sarah eventually says, when Sarah got impatient and she felt the promise is not coming through, and she suggested, Abraham, sleep with Sarah. And we know the outcome, Ishmael was born, and Ishmael wasn't the promised son. Isaac was the promised son. So anything that is not God's will but sustains you in the natural, you can be losing out in the spiritual as well. So he went there, he was sustained in the natural, they had plenty of food in Egypt, but in the spiritual, he was not sustained. He lost out in the spiritual. If we can go to Naomi and compare Naomi. Naomi, in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, in the book of Ruth, there was a famine in Bethlehem. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem of Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He, his wife, and his two sons. This is Elimelech. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi, and his two sons were named Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem of Judah. They went to the country of Moab and continued there. But Elimelech, whose Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. And they took wives of the woman of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. So the woman was bereft of her two sons and a husband. Now, here's a similar situation. In the book of Ruth, there was a famine in Bethlehem. Now, we know Bethlehem means the house of bread. The bread is depictive of the word of God. And Elimelech didn't consult God. He decided, remember I said, sometimes we want to preserve ourselves in the natural and we make natural decisions. Where you are preserved, you'll get your food, but you lose out spiritually. And so Elimelech made a decision, there's plenty of food in Moab. And what does Moab represent? What father? They don't believe in fathering. There's fatherlessness in the land. So he left the house of bread and he goes to Moab. He went to an inaccurate location, right? And you must also know they lived in Bethlehem in Judah. While Bethlehem is the house of bread, Judah is represents the apostolic. So it's an accurate representation of the apostolic. So he didn't just leave the word, he left apostolic doctrine. And we know apostolic doctrine is all about maturing in Christ and about realignment to God's original intent. So what happened now? He decides to go to a place that also kills sonship because he's from the house of bread. He's from an accurate location. And Elimelech says, Naomi and the two boys, let us go there. And Elimelech dies there, the father. And then the two boys get wives who served foreign gods, Orpah and Ruth. And then the two sons died. So remember, he detoured off the path. God called him to Judah. He made his own decision. There's a famine. I need to take care of myself. And in his own strength, like Abraham, not being instructed by the Lord, you leave an accurate location and you have a slight deviation. And he's lost himself and his two sons. So Naomi was a widow. He died. And there were the two daughter-in-laws were widow. And we know the story, which I'll touch on later. But so the point I'm trying to make is that we can't resolve things in our own strength, looking for a place of preservation, but that place of preservation can kill your sonship. And so remember Esau. Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. He was temporarily hungry. And this birthright was a weighty thing, to be the firstborn son to have a birthright. And he traded it. He says, Jacob, I'll drink your bowl of soup. Take my birthright. He disregarded something very precious for a temporary satisfaction, a bowl of soup. So we know now, coming back to Abraham, that he sleeps with Hagar and Ishmael is born. And once Hagar became pregnant, the Bible says, with the child from Abraham, an attitude started setting in with her. And she started to feel she is the main wife and she is one up on Sarah because Sarah can't conceive and she's the maidservant and she can conceive. And so she started to have an attitude towards Sarah. And then Sarah also now realized she made the wrong decision and she shouldn't have suggested that. And then there was tension between the two of them. And you know, Ishmael was born. And Ishmael represents the father of the Muslim race. And you know, there's long-term consequences even today. The battle between, the tension between the Muslims and the Christians exists even today. But if you rewind it, it all started with Abraham going to Egypt, attaining Hagar there, taking them back, taking something, an outcome of Egypt into your place where God wants you, and the consequences thereof. A second place that Abraham went to. Now remember, when we read the first Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to live temporarily. I want to emphasize that word temporarily because it wasn't permanent. It was just, I know God called me to Canaan, but I just want to hit a detour. But things happen in that detour. And now this was the second incident. Abraham in Genesis chapter 20, verse 1 to 17. Now, in this instance, take note, his name in chapter 17 was changed from Abram to Abraham. So now he's Abraham. Once again, Abraham made a decision which was not God's instruction. So if we read from 1 to 17, now Abraham journeyed from there towards the south country, the Negev, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and he lived temporarily in Gerar. Now the first chapter 12 had that word, and now chapter 20. So he decided to go to Gerar. It doesn't say as instructed by the Lord, and I'll show you just now, when God does instruct you to go somewhere, it is mentioned in the word. And so it doesn't say as instructed by the Lord. So he goes to Gerar, a temporary place, meaning I'm going to come out of there later. There you go, a detour. And what does Gerar mean? Gerar means a sojourning, a lodging place to turn aside from the way. So it means it's a place where you halt. It's a place where you just turn aside. You're on the right way. You're on the right path. And you just hit a little jigger, if I can say. You turn aside off the path and you go there. And once again, I said every one of us in our lives reach a stage in our lives where we do pause and we do halt and we temporarily find ourselves in a place we ought not to be, a place of inaccuracy. So when Abraham made a decision to stop there, remember he was journeying again and he said, let's stop there. Now note here that his name is Abraham. Now Randolph in one of the teachings told us from Abram to Abraham is an insertion of the fifth letter of the Hebrew vowel, which is hey, H-E-Y, hey. But when you insert it in Abraham's name in English, it's the H-A. So Abram changed to Abraham by the insertion of H-A and the fifth letter, 5, denotes grace. So now Abraham, there's an insertion of grace into Abraham. But even when God does a work of grace in our lives, we are still prone to go astray if we do not allow ourselves to be led by Him. Now, when he first went to Egypt, he was not led by God. He looked for a natural preservation, but lost out spiritually. Hagar was the result, and he brought Hagar out. Now he's going to Gerar, and Gerar is a lodging place, a halting place, where your destiny is sort of put on hold. And then look what happens now as we read on. Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah into his harem. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said, behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken as your own, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, so he said, Lord, will you slay a people who are just and innocent? Did not the man tell me she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In integrity of heart and innocency of hands, I have done this. Then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know you did this in the integrity of your heart, for it was I who kept you back and spared you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not give you occasion to touch her. So now restore to the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you and you will live. But if you do not restore her to him, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. So Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told them all these things. And the men were exceedingly filled with reverence and fear. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? And how have I offended you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me what ought not to be to anyone. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you see in us that justified you in doing such a thing as this? And Abraham said, because I thought surely there is no reverence or fear of God at all in this place, and they will slay me because of my wife. But truly she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not of my mother, and she became my wife. When God caused me to wander from my father's house, I said to her, this kindness you can show me. At every place we stop, say of me, he is my brother. Then Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male and female slaves and gave them to Abraham and restored to him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before you. Dwell wherever it pleases you. And to Sarah he said, behold, I have given this brother of yours 1,000 pieces of silver. See, it is to compensate for you for all that has occurred and to vindicate your honor before all who are with you, before all men who are cleared and compensated. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his female slaves, and they bore children. So once again, the scenario, Sarah was really very beautiful at 90. She was beautiful, and men desired her. So to protect his own skin, Abraham would say, say you're my sister, because if they know you're my husband, they'll kill me to get you. And so God appears to Abimelech in a dream and warns him, do not touch him. And the fear of God came upon him. And Abimelech rightly said, you know what? I am blameless. He said, she's the sister, and I took her because she was the sister. But now that I know it's the wife, I'm returning her. I have not touched her. So he was clear, and God stopped him from sinning, and Sarah goes back. But the point I'm making is that stuff happens in Gerar. In Gerar, there's betrayal. There's hurt, there's exploitation, there's degradation. How do you think Sarah felt? Now, for the second time, Sarah kept up the fact that she was his sister and did not disclose that she was his wife. Maybe she did this out of respect and honor for Abraham, for his protection so that he's not killed. Whatever the reason, it must have still hurt her to know that her own husband denied her as a wife for the sake of his own protection. and that she would be exposed to defilement by another man. She knew Abraham as a man of faith, a friend of God, obedient. Yet why didn't he have enough trust in God to protect him if he admitted Sarah was his wife? Abraham would have been well protected by God without his deception. So Sarah had all these questions fully in her mind. But you know what? Those two words, but God. Because in God's faithfulness, he saw the purpose locked up in Abraham and Sarah, the fact that he was to father nations through the promised child Isaac, and God would not see purpose aborted. God would not see Sarah's womb defiled. So God stepped in and gave Abimelech the dream, thereby ensuring Sarah's protection and ensuring that purpose attendant with Abraham and Sarah be preserved. So what I want to tell us today, do you know that when we find ourselves in situations which does not facilitate or fast-track God's purposes, when we are in our Gerar or in our Egypt, but if your heart is intent to do God's will, God can still step in and intervene and protect and preserve his purposes, and he can overturn the adverse situation you find yourself in. So you find yourself, hey, I've got you because of my own wrongdoing. But God doesn't sit and remind you, yes, Quinton, you did that. I did not tell you to go to Gerar. I did not tell you to go to Egypt. God, we need to understand the love and mercy of God, that no matter how we've botched up, God will intervene, step in, but that's if your heart is intent to go back on track. Because remember, Gerar means to deviate off the way, right? To turn aside. It's a halting place, a lodging place where you ought not to have been. And so God can bring you back on track and put you back on the way. But you must have an intent to please God and a repentant heart. And so how gracious and merciful is our Father? And you know what's the amazing thing? Grace is released to help you accomplish that thing. Randolph always says, whenever you intent on doing God's will, but you find it so hard, for example, even to forgive somebody that has really hurt you and hasn't even apologized, but you still have to forgive. It's very hard. But the minute you decide, I choose to forgive, grace kicks in and empowers you to do that thing. So that's so marvelous about God. So when we want to do what pleases God, but it's difficult for us in our own human strength, allow grace to kick in and to work in you, and grace will attend that thing, and just with ease you will do that thing. So God is so marvelous. His grace is so, without grace we really are nothing. And you know what? The scripture says, remember Gerar means to veer off the track, right? So God can bring you back to an accurate place, even though you went to via a place he did not plan for you to go. Now, the scripture does not say Sarah was bitter or resentful towards Abraham. Therefore, I believe she wasn't. Because you must know, she had to go into the harem and he was somewhere else. And, you know, I just picture myself there. It's like, oh, Randolph, how can you let me go in this place where they could abuse me, you know? But in it all, her honor was so strong. As like, I will do what you say I must do to Abraham. And you think after this incident, so while in both cases she was released because God intervened, in the place of inaccuracy, God still intervened, she wasn't bitter or resentful. Because why do I say she wasn't? Because I believe the Bible would have said it. Because when Naomi in Ruth, in the book of Ruth, was bitter, the Bible says more than once, Naomi was very bitter. So it means when she was bitter, the Bible stated it. But the Bible does not say Sarah was bitter. So Sarah is to be applauded for her response. There was no backlashing. There was no accusation. There was no anger or bitterness. No pity party. No dishonor or disrespect towards Abraham. Also no intention to end the marriage. Okay? So now look what happens. This is what's marvelous. God takes note of Sarah's response. And look at Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. In the Amplified Version, it says, then the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for her as he had promised. I just want to read different versions. The Lord graciously remembered and visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for her as he has promised. In the New American Standard Version, it says, the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. In the New International Version, it says, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised." So one verse later, after that chapter, it says, "The Lord took note of Sarah." And I think it's very important to note, it doesn't say the Lord took note of Sarah and Abraham. I think God was referring to Sarah's response. The Lord took note of Sarah. The Lord graciously remembered Sarah. The Lord visited Sarah. And the word visited means to attend, to be present. It's like, Sarah, I'm going to attend you now. I'm going to be present with you now. I'm going to search you out. That's what the word visit means. I'm going to be present. I'm going to attend you. I'm going to search you out. I'm going to pay attention to you, Sarah. And you know what? She fell pregnant. So the Lord took note of her, was gracious, and graciously remembered her, and she conceived and bore a son. Why? Because of her response. Sarah learned the faithfulness of God in a new way, the protection of God in a new way, and the fact that he was indeed a covenant keeper. After Sarah's Gerar experience is like, God, you are faithful. You zapped me out once again. I'm in this harem. You are so faithful. You brought me out. You protected me. You protected Abraham. And God, indeed, you keep your word. Because now, while I suggested Hagar and Ishmael came forth, I am now pregnant. And so she was just marveled at the faithfulness of God. And I want to tell you, each one of you here today, God can take note of you. God can search you out. God can pay attention to you. God can attend to you when your responses are like Sarah. It's like you went through this hurt and betrayal and pain in Gerar. But God is saying, if your heart is still intent to please me, I can take you, bring you back on path, fill you with my grace and empower you. And you know what? The plan of God can still unfold in your life. So whilst we know Abraham was highly favored by God, the scripture says he took note of Sarah. So if we can go to Hebrews 11, verse 8. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went forth to a place which he was destined to receive as an inheritance. And he went, although he did not know or trouble his mind about where he was to go. Prompted by faith, he dwelt as a temporary resident in the land which was designated in the promise of God though he was like a stranger in a strange country, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob and fellow heirs with him of the same promise." So this is when God called him out and he says, I'm taking you onto a journey to a place I've promised for you, but you're going to journey along the way and pitch up your tents. But it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed, means God, you're pulling me out of my comfort zone, away from my parents and my family. I don't know where I'm going to. But we hear of Abraham's faith. By faith, I'm going to obey you. But if you look at verse 11. So verse 8 speaks about Abraham's faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed God when God called him out. But look at verse 11. Because of faith, also Sarah herself received physical power to conceive a child, even when she was long past the age, because she considered God, who had given her the promise, to be reliable and trustworthy and true to his word. I just want to read another version. The King James Version said in Hebrews 11:11, by faith, Sarah herself received the ability to conceive. Right? By faith, she received the ability to conceive. In the King James Version, it says, by faith, she received strength to conceive. In the King James Version, even beyond the proper time of life, and she considered him faithful who had promised. Please hear the point I'm saying. In verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed. It didn't say by faith Abraham obeyed God and followed him to an unknown place, and by faith Abraham conceived. It just spoke about Abraham's faith in obeying God to go to a city that he did not know where he was going to. But to Sarah, it says, by faith, even Sarah received the strength to conceive in the proper time because she considered him faithful in Gerar. I'm adding that. She saw the faithfulness of God. God, you yanked me out of this harem for a second time. I see the faithfulness of God. And her response wasn't, I'm going to get you back, Abraham. Twice you denied me as your wife. I could have been harmed and abused. Her response was so godly. All she could see was, God, I see your hand yanking me out. I see you putting us back on track. And she relished in the fact, God, you are faithful. And the Bible says in Hebrews, in the New Testament, by faith she conceived because she considered him faithful. And the versions, like I said, some say by faith she received the ability to conceive, but by faith she received strength to conceive. And another version says by faith she received power to conceive. So I want to just bring out this point now. Abraham's obedience was due to his faith, yet Sarah's ability to conceive was due to her faith. Right? There were multiple factors like Abraham. Now, while she conceived because of her faith, there were multiple factors as well. Remember, Abraham ran off, taught us, he prayed for Abimelech and his wife and the servants who were all struck with barrenness. Because he took Sarah, they were all struck with barrenness. He prayed for them and they conceived. So that was a factor too. Ranoff said, when you pray for somebody where you have a need and a lack in your own life, while praying for them, you will get your need met. So for example, if you really are sick and you're trusting God for healing, but you decide, leave myself alone. I need to lay hands on Granny Rita or Granny Yvette and pray for their healing. In your desire to get them healed, God will even heal your own sickness. So whatever you pray for in somebody else where you have that same need, God himself will meet your need. And so Abraham prayed for Abimelech and his wife and his servants, and they all conceived. So there were multiple factors. Sarah conceived soon after that as well. So Abraham had a part to play, but Sarah had a part to play too by her responses. God, what I've been through in Gerard, the betrayal, the hurt, I choose to see your faithfulness. And it says, by faith you receive strength to conceive. So a point I want to make here is that both Abraham and Sarah had parts to play, and God responded to both of them. So in a marriage, for example, God will bless the faith and obedience of both the husband and the wife. A disobedient husband must not rely on an obedient wife for breakthrough, or vice versa. How much better if you both as a team play your part? So she didn't just say, well, God, Abraham, God called you, I'm leaving it all to you. She played her part too in her godly responses, in her private trust of God, in her worship of God. And likewise, he played his part too. While he had some shortcomings, Abraham, he wasn't bitter. He prayed for Abimelech and his family who all conceived, even though people were mocking him. You are 100, no baby yet. And he still prayed without bitterness. So in a marriage, I just want to speak to the couples. Both of you must exercise faith and obedience to get your breakthrough and your blessing. So God opened Sarah's womb and caused her to conceive. Now, I want to stress a point here. God opened Sarah's womb and caused her to conceive. Who was the source of the miracle? God. So Abraham was just the means that God used, right? And so sometimes when we see prayers answered or we see breakthrough, we tend to focus on the means through which they came through rather than on God who did the work behind the scenes and who is the source. So let's always remember that and that we focus on the source, and God will use people and we must express gratitude to the people, but we also got to note the source and not just be caught up in the means. And an example of that is many, many years ago, I remembered when I applied for a job. I actually didn't apply for a job. I studied medical technology, and I hated lab work. I found out it just wasn't for me. And I wondered, God, why did I choose that course? Because lab work, where you're just yourself and the microscope and samples from your body, you're not engaging people. You're engaging specimens from people's body and doing tests on it. And so I resigned because of the late shift, and Matthew was born and they wouldn't change my night shift. And I was at home and I just said, God, just open, work it into your plan. And I questioned God. I studied anatomy and physiology and everything. And was it wasted? Because everything I prayed about and I committed to you. And then I got a call the next week saying, would you like to be a medical underwriter at the time was NedLife, NBS Life. Because we're looking for somebody with a medical background, and we were told that you have a medical background. And without the interview, I got the job, was in the company for 14 years. God worked it in the plan. And while I was grateful, because there was a guy there, his name was Timothy. And he was there when they said, Timothy, do you know of anyone? We need an urgent underwriter. But you know the requirements, they have to have a medical background. And Timothy knew I had studied medical technology, anatomy, physiology, cellular pathology, everything. And he said, I know somebody who's resigned from the lab and she's actually at home. And he called and I got the job. So while God used Timothy, and I expressed gratitude towards Timothy, who mentioned my name, I really believe I saw God working behind the scenes. There's Renee at home. She needs the job. I'm going to work it back in, though those studies aren't going to go wasted. And so a vacancy was created. God used Timothy. I needed to thank Timothy. But I also got to focus on God. You are faithful. You work behind the scenes. And so while God opened Sarah's womb and you needed an Abraham to help make Isaac, at the end of the day, it was God who did the work behind the scenes. And so I want to go to Genesis chapter 26, verse 3. Dwell temporarily in this land, and I will be with you and will favor you with blessings. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. Go to Gerar. Now remember, Gerar was a place where it's a deviation off the path. It's a halting place. It's a lodging place where your destiny is put on pause. But God instructed Isaac, Abraham's son Isaac. God instructed Isaac to go there. What's the difference here? In Genesis chapter 12, there was a famine in the land, and Abraham made a decision to go to Egypt without the instruction of God. In Genesis chapter 20, Abraham decided he's going to stop in Gerar. It does not say God instructed Abraham. In chapter 26, six chapters later, God actually says to Isaac, dwell temporarily in this land. Remember, it's a temporary dwelling. Dwell there, go to Gerar. The point on what I'm making is this. Sometimes we go through suffering and God allows us to go through it. Sometimes God allows us to go through it. But sometimes we go through suffering as a result of wrong and inaccurate choices we make. So there's two types. Sometimes God allows. Now, Abraham wasn't supposed to go to Gerar. He went, and we know what happened there. Isaac was meant to go there. But God knew the place that Gerar represented. So God says, don't worry, when you go there, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you and fulfill my promise there. So whenever God gives us an instruction and leads us to go somewhere, we must always know we've got the backing of the whole heavenly host, the backing of the Godhead. I will bless you. I will think. Abraham wasn't blessed in Gerar because he wasn't supposed to be there. So the minute God gives you an assignment and a job to do, know whether it's to go to the slums of Ethiopia. If God said, go, you've got the backing of the Godhead. There'll be blessing. There'll be favor. Because God says, I will bless you. I will favor you. I will be and give you descendants there. Fulfill my promise there that I promised to your father. So there was a time that Isaac went to Gerar, but it was according to God's instruction. So that was the difference. Abraham went when he wasn't supposed to go. And what happened, what unfolded there. But Isaac went as obedience to God's instruction. And so I want to encourage us to listen to God, allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit at all times. And then coming back to the story of Naomi. Remember Elimelech went to Moab. Moab means what father? He went to preserve himself from the famine in Bethlehem. He left the house of bread and he went to an inaccurate location that killed sonship. He died and his two sons had died. And so they were there for quite a while, the widow Naomi and the two daughters. Then Naomi heard that there was food in Bethlehem again. And she heard that God visited Bethlehem again. And so she decides she is going back home. Now, they went on this deviation and was there for many years until Naomi came to a place where she decided, time to go back home. And we see in verse 13 of Ruth chapter 1, verse 13. Okay, look what she says in the last thing. Would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it is far more bitter for me than for you that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Now, when she told her daughter-in-law she's going back, Orpah said, okay, bye-bye, I will stay. Ruth said, I'm going to go wherever you go. And she's trying to encourage them, both of you stay. I'm not going to have any more sons for you to marry. And she says, look there. It is far more bitter for me than for you. God's hand is against me. So Naomi became bitter. Because they were in an inaccurate location, bitterness and resentment set in, and she started blaming God. So in verse 13, she says, the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me. In verse 20, when she returns to Bethlehem, and they say, hey, must know it's many years later, and some people recognize that she had age. Isn't that Naomi? And she says, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. Mara means bitter. For the Almighty has dealt very bitter with me. So Naomi became bitter. She even changed her own name. Call me Mara. The Almighty has dealt bitter with me. And then in verse 21, she says, I went full, but the Lord brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me. So three times she's saying, look how she's blaming God. The hand of the Lord was against me. The Almighty has dealt bitter with me. The Lord has witnessed against me and he has afflicted me. So with her inaccurate decision of going to a place, leaving the house of God, going to a place that killed sonship, she realized time to go back home, but she went back a bitter person. How do you compare her with Sarah? Sarah went through Egypt and Gerar where she was betrayed by her husband. But you know what? There was no bitterness. In it, she just said, God, you protected me. I see your faithfulness. And she still honored and respected Abraham. Her response is bitterness. God, I'm blaming you. You're afflicting me. Your hand is against me. And she goes back. But when Naomi goes back and she realizes the divine happening in Ruth's life with Boaz. Remember Ruth? I won't go into that story. Meets Boaz. She took on the role of a spiritual father to Ruth and gave her good advice and godly counsel. And so God started to do a mighty work of restoration. But what did Naomi have to do? As long as she was in Moab, she was bitter. She was bitter. Even when she returned back, she had that bitterness. But when she went back to the place where God had ordained for her, she shouldn't have left there. God would have protected her. There was bread there, house of bread. When she went back, then slowly God's plan of redemption takes place and she actually becomes spiritual father and rises in strength. What was Naomi's key? While her response was different to Sarah, at the end of the day, she made a decision to reposition herself. So I want to encourage us here in the house. If we've gone off the path, if we veered off the path, if we went to a location that wasn't in God's will. God did not tell us to go there, but we went because of our own will. We wanted natural preservation, even though we were losing out spiritually. God is so faithful that if you decide, God, I want to reposition myself and go back on track and continue on the journey. God is faithful. He says, you've asked for a good thing. Oops, I'm releasing my grace to help you do this thing. And we see how Naomi built up herself in God. And at the end, Sarah's end was because of a godly response, Sarah received strength to conceive and bore a child. Now, Naomi didn't conceive, but look what it says in verse 14 of Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4, verse 14. And the woman said to Naomi, now remember, Ruth conceived from Boaz and had a child, Obed. And the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close kinsman. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher and supporter in your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Now you know what it says in verse 15. May this son, Obed, be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer in your old age. Now there was Sarah. Sarah received strength to conceive and had the baby Isaac, the promised child. Naomi didn't have a husband, didn't conceive, but Ruth conceived as God redeemed her. And do you know what? because now Naomi's attitude has changed. She came back on course. She realigned herself. She repositioned herself. Guess what? Ruth took her baby, Obed, and she said, Naomi, and she put the baby on Naomi's lap, and she says, it's your baby. I give him to you. So she has a baby as well. Symbolic of the fruit of what God did, the seed received, the redemption plan of God. And so the endings are the same. Sarah was not bitter, and she conceived. Naomi was bitter, but decided, I need to reposition, realign myself. And God's grace and mercy still gave her a good end, where a baby was placed on her lap and saying, this is yours. And she actually nursed him. But it was actually Ruth's baby. But that's the honor that even Ruth honored her as a spiritual father and placed her own baby on Naomi's lap. And so how marvelous is the redemption power of God? How marvelous is the grace of God, the mercy of God, that even when Naomi went off track and went to an inaccurate place, she repositioned herself. And I want to encourage the house. Every one of us has hit a slight detour at some point in our lives. And God is saying today, come back, reposition yourself. Because everything that I've promised for you, everything that I've ordained for you can still come to pass. I can still work it in. I can still work in even the bitterness. You may have even had an outcome of the Hagar and the effect of Hagar and the tension that Hagar caused with Sarah and the conflict between Ishmael and Isaac. All that may be some of your consequences now that you're experiencing because you went to an inaccurate place. You must remember, when we sin, there's consequences, but God gives us grace to bear it. And so God can't now kill Ishmael. But God is so merciful. It's like, I will give you grace to bear it, but come back on track, reposition. So the decision is with us to reposition ourselves, to come back in where we veered off. And God is faithful to continue to fulfill purpose. And so Sarah had a godly response to the Gerar experience, and soon after she conceived. Naomi's response was one of blame, of bitterness, self-pity, but because she repositioned herself and left Moab and went back to an accurate place, a place of bread, apostolic word, doctrine, she allowed God to do a work of restoration in her life, even as she became a spiritual father to Ruth. And so while she didn't conceive her own child, we know that they say in verse 17, if you go to verse 17 there of Ruth chapter 4, verse 17, look what they say. And her neighbor woman gave him a name, saying, a son is born to Naomi. Now it was Ruth's son. A son is born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David, the ancestor of Christ. Right? And it says, a son has been born to Naomi. That's the phrase I want to get. It was Ruth's son, but they said a son. It was accredited to her. So in conclusion, I want to say this. Abraham made a mistake as a father. He made some wrong decisions. Now, you know, Rano's been encouraging us about being mighty men. And we were on the theme, mighty men of David, mighty men of valor, their strong support. And indeed, Abraham, we respect him as a father of faith, a father of obedience. Each one of us has some weaknesses and flaws. We know, like even David, mighty man David, he saw Bathsheba where he shouldn't be looking. You know, so he sinned, but God forgave the mercy and grace of God. So Abraham wasn't led by God to two places. God worked it in for his plan, and God brought him out again. But Isaac, God instructed Isaac to go to Gerar and says, when you go to a place that seems a bit not au fait, I will cover you with my blessing and my favor and my protection. And so because Abraham made a mistake as a father, but in the next generation of Isaac, the mistake is corrected. Because Isaac only goes to Gerar as a response to God's instruction. So where Abraham made that mistake of going there without being told, it's corrected in his son Isaac. Isaac said, I ain't going there where daddy went. But when God said, go there, Isaac, then he went there. So where, as a father, he made a mistake, as parents, we can make mistakes, but let's make sure it's corrected in our next generation. So let's also, where we've made mistakes as parents, let's correct it now And let's repent. Now, don't just say the children must make sure they don't do it. We still have to repent from those mistakes now. We still have to correct those mistakes now so that our children can walk obediently. Because you must remember, your children are also watching you. So when we make, let's say, God, I want to repent. God, I want to correct the mistakes now, because even when my children see me correct the mistakes, they won't make the same mistakes. So Isaac did not make the same mistake. He went, and we know in Gerar how they plugged up his wells, and there was some conflict, but God was with him, and God's favor was with him all the time. Because why? God, you led me here, so your presence is here. Wherever God leads you, his presence is with you, and that's what's important. So Naomi makes a decision to go back to Bethlehem. She goes back to a context where there was a principle which redeemed her and her land and any property lost. Now, we know about the Levirate principle in the book of Ruth. Means if your husband died and the closest relative marries you, he can redeem you. He's a kinsman redeemer, and he can any property that was lost can be restored to you. Now, if she stayed in Moab, there couldn't have been a redemption for Ruth, because there was no Levirate principle in operation in Moab. Only in Bethlehem in Judah, there was that principle. So what Naomi does is she says, I'm going back to a context where principles of the word works. I'm going back to a house of bread, apostolic doctrine. I'm going back there where the word can change, and the word is, when you install these principles, how God's plan can pan out in your life. So she goes back to a context where there was a principle that redeemed her. So I want to encourage us, if we veered off the path and God's principles are not there, go back to the context, go back to the safe place. The safe place is in the will of God. And if the will of God is wherever in this world, no matter how dangerous that country can be, if that's where God has called you, that's a safe place, because God's presence is where he's called you. And so Naomi went back where there were principles. Okay, you came back. Ruth can now be redeemed by the closest relative, Boaz. And we know Boaz marries Ruth. She gets the property back. They get the inheritance restored, because that in that context was that principle, the Levirate principle. So I want to encourage us, let's get back to that safe place in God. Let's get back to that accurate location in God, the place that God has ordained for us, because in there God can work out his plan and purposes because of the principles in that context. Now, in conclusion, I want to say, by faith, Sarah received strength to receive seed. And this is key for us today. By faith, she received strength to receive seed. So some of us here, we may feel weak. We may feel guilty. We may feel ineligible. We may feel disconnected. But don't feel like that, because no matter what, God still loves you. Right? But you have to be strong to conceive. Sarah, there was a promise on her. You are going to conceive at 90 and give birth to Isaac. You have to be strong to conceive. So that's what it says, Lord, I'm frail. I'm 90. It says, by faith, I'm receiving your strength to conceive. And so she conceived. You have to be strong to conceive. So you have to receive strength in order to receive the seed. And each one of us, there are seeds that God, we need to receive from God. Seeds that will outwork in our life of our destiny. And God is saying, if you're feeling weak or guilty or whatever, you are still loved by God, and God wants you to receive strength to conceive and strength to receive the seed. And then you may also be here and you feel, you may feel this, that you have not detoured, or you have not made serious blunders in your life. And you feel, I never go to Egypt. I didn't go to Gerar. But you could be feeling weak, because you know that you're at the point of delivery. You are 9 months pregnant. You are at that point of delivery. And guess what? You still need strength to push. You still need strength to push it out. So you've got the seed. So you need strength to receive the seed, number one. But if you've got the purpose of God, and you feel you're walking in it, and it's come to a ripeness, but you're not fully there yet, you still need strength to push it out, right? And so, but you're feeling weak because you're at the point of delivery, and the promise has to come forth, and you may be feeling weary because I'm right here, but there's no promise. We may be feeling we are trusting God for this building. We are right there, no building. Or we trust in God for that job and God, I've done everything. I've walked according to your ways, your principle. The job is not there. You could be 9 months pregnant, mean you are right there. But you're feeling weary and you're feeling weak. And God is saying today, receive strength for the seed. Receive strength to push out that seed. And so all women need strength for that final push. And so woman is just an imagery. Each one of us needs strength for that final push. So we're going to pray a prayer of impartation for us to receive strength so that we can receive seed and we can conceive, and also strength to push out the purposes of God for those that are feeling weary, that it's just not happening yet. You've been faithful, and you're just not seeing that manifestation. God is saying, today you're going to receive an impartation of strength for that final push to push out. And we can push through. And if we go to Isaiah chapter 37, verse 3, and they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this is a day of trouble and distress and of rebuke and of disgrace. For children have come to the birth and there is no strength to bring them forth. So we could be in this day where we've come right up to 9 months and it's like you're losing hope, you're losing strength, you're losing vigor, you're losing desire. You know, even sometimes we've got to push ourselves to come to a prayer meeting, push ourselves to go to a youth meeting. Sometimes you don't feel like it. You've had the worst day ever. But I want to say, ask God to renew your strength, to give you an impartation of strength. God, I'm going to lock into prayer on Wednesday, even though it's raining, even though I had a worst day at work. I'm going to support the city church, even though Tuesday is a certain day for me that I got other plans on. It can seem hard, and it can seem, hey, God, there's purposes of yours, but some is just a bit too hard to push it through. God is saying today you can receive strength. To receive the seed, to conceive, but also to push through. In Isaiah 66, verse 9. Isaiah 66, verse 9. Shall I bring to the moment of birth and not cause you to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I who causes to bring forth shut the womb, says your God? God is saying to us today, will I really bring you up to 9 months and the baby's head is there? And I'm going to say bye-bye. God is saying, you know what? The baby's head is crowning. Just push. Receive strength for that final push. Some of us, the baby is in the birth canal because it's like we're giving up and we're so close. So I want to encourage you today. Like Abraham, Sarah said, she received strength to conceive. She received power to conceive and the baby was born because she believed God was faithful. Do we believe God is faithful? God is faithful and he's full of mercy and he's full of grace. This message is not judgmental. This message is redemption, redemptive. That if you have veered off the path, if you have strayed a little, if God didn't tell you to do this or to go there, but you went there because you feel, I need to preserve myself, and there it looks good. Remember Lot and Abraham. When Abraham said to Lot, we need to separate, there's tension between our herdsmen. And Lot said, it says Lot lifted up his eyes and he said, I'm checking out the valley of Jordan. There's greenness, there's lushness, there's fertility, there's crops there. And he was selfish. He says, Abraham, I'm choosing that. Not knowing he's choosing near Sodom. But he saw what his natural eyes saw, natural preservation. I want all the food for my animals and my family and the resource. And then it says, Lot went on his way. But Abraham, it says, now God says, now Abraham, I'm going to lift up your eyes. And you look to the north, east, south, west, wherever you look, that land is yours. What's the difference here? Lot lifted up his own eyes and he chose according to the natural. I see resource there. I want that. At the expense of losing his soul spiritually. Because he positioned near Sodom and he ended up a man in a cave where incest was committed with his two daughters while he was drunk. That was his sad end because he positioned himself inaccurately. But God says to Abraham, Abraham, lift up your eyes. I'm going to show you. So key in the message today is let's be governed by the Holy Spirit. Let's be led by the Holy Spirit. Wherever God leads you and sends you and tells you to do, attendant with that thing is his presence. When Isaac went to Gerar, God's presence was there. But he had to give Isaac the promises. I'm going to show you blessing and favor. Don't worry, even the tension with the Philistines. But he was confident, God is leading me. God did not lead Abraham to those two places. So I want to say, let's always be governed by the Holy Spirit in the small decisions you need to make, whether it's the choice of a job, whether it's relocation to another city for work purposes, are you, I can ask the question, is it just because the package is good there, so you'll be sustained naturally with money, but you're losing out spiritually? So it could be simple decisions on choices of universities. On in every life we face with decisions, and the overriding thought must be in you, God, lead me into making the decision that you would want, because attendant with your decision is your presence, your favor, your grace, your mercy, everything that comes with it. And that's a safe place to be. The safest place to be is in God's will and in his presence. But like I said, we're human beings, and we do veer off from time to time. And the message today is to say, God is saying, like Naomi, reposition yourself. Go back to Bethlehem. Go back to the house of bread. Don't go to a place that you think is going to preserve you, but it's killing sonship. Egypt killed sonship. Moab killed sonship and fathering. Don't go to that place where naturally you preserve, but spiritually you lose your sonship identity. God is saying, be led and governed. And even if it doesn't make sense, as long as God said it, you do it. I'm also, you know how strong I am even on partners, choosing the right partner. Rather be, like look at Sarah. She was 90 when she gave birth. Don't worry about a partner if you haven't found them. We trust in God with you. But don't make premature decisions because a wrong partner that God didn't lead you, a marriage that he didn't lead you into, there'll be consequences. And so everything, let's leave here today saying, God, every decision from the time I walk out of here, lead me, guide me, direct me by your spirit. Because when it's a godly decision, your resource is attendant, your presence, your power is attendant. But most of all, I want to encourage the house that there is grace and mercy and redemption. And also, if you feel this doesn't apply to you, you didn't veer off the path or whatever, but you are growing weary, you still need to receive strength to conceive and to give that final push. And today we're just going to stand now and we're going to pray an impartation of strength to us all, that God may sustain us and cause us to conceive and to push out that seed that he has ordained for us. Amen. Do you receive that word? Let's stand. Father, we thank you, God, that you are God Almighty, our Father, Father of heavens and earth, the Father of us, Father of our spirits, God. We bless you and we praise you. You are a great God. You are a faithful God. You are a gracious God. You are mighty, mighty God. And so, Father, today we call upon you, Father, for the strength of God. You are our help. You are our strength. And, Father, we pray that where we have detoured and gone off the path and away from your will, God, we pray that you give us strength, God, to come back to you. Help us to reposition ourselves, God, to come back on the right path. Where we've grown weary and where we're feeling weak, God, we ask for an impartation, Holy Spirit, of strength to receive the ability to conceive, to receive your seed, God, so that we can conceive and give birth to your purposes, Father. Father, where we have come to 9 months and we feel it's just not happening. I'm in labor for too long. I feel like I'm in labor. The baby's in the birth canal, but there's nothing happening there. God, renew our strength, God. Renew our vigor, God. Energize us with your spirit, God, that we may push out your purposes. Give us the zeal and the passion, God, to go ahead and to fulfill purpose on the earth, God, to be a support to our spiritual fathers, God, to be a support to the mandate and the vision, our own unique calling and the corporate calling. God, you have an individual plan which works into the great corporate plan. So, Father, for each one standing here, I pray a prayer of impartation, of strength to finish, of strength to receive your seed and to conceive, God, of strength to push out the purposes of God, of strength where our knees have grown weary, where we've gone weak, God, let us not be weary in well doing, because in due season we will reap if we do not faint. So, Father, where we feel we're at that point of fainting because it's just not happening, give us strength, God. Give us strength to stay, God. Give us strength to stand. Give us strength for the journey ahead, God. Bring us back on track where we veered off the path, God. We want to be in your divine will, your divine plan. The safest place to be, God, is in your plan and in your presence, God. We know that where you've called us to go and where, what you've called us to do, God, your presence is attendant there where your will is. So, Father, we pray for a re-infilling of the Holy Spirit, God, that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we may be able to hear what He is saying as He directs us like a GPS and tells us which way to go and what to do in every situation and in every decision we make. God, let our ears be attuned to what the Spirit is saying. We only want to go where the Spirit says go. We only want to do what the Spirit says do, God. And we know that that's a safe place to be. So we thank you, Father God, Father Son, Father Holy Spirit, for the presence of the Godhead in our lives, for the power of the person of the Holy Spirit, which we cannot do without, God. So we thank you, God, this morning that as we leave, we will all leave with a renewed strength, a renewed vigor, God, to continue and to push forth the purposes of God in the earth globally, God, to push it forth, no more weariness. God, give us a passion, God, for your house, a passion for the house of bread, God, that we, as we receive this bread and this doctrine, that we may impart to others, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you for you are a faithful God, you are a good God, you are a mighty God, you are our help, and you are our strength. In Jesus' name.